Blog Talk Radio.
Find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manapro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Manapro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of many titles, including City Chicks and Chicken Tractor, Pat Foreman. Today is Friday, finally, January 7th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon or morning, depending on where you're tuning in from, on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button that shows up at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our passion and hobby of backyard poultry, show poultry, and sustainable living. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manapro.
Everyone has heard of Manapro, but not everyone knows that Manapro is a company that makes the care and nutrition of your animals the absolute highest priority. The animals in our lives are a lot of things: pets, friends, providers, gardeners, and entertainment. So we want to take care of them with the same dedication with which they take care of us. That's why Manapro is 100% committed to one thing above all else: nurturing life. Visit manapro.com for more information.
If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try Manapro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try Manapro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com, or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When
you need an incubator, think Frenzy. Technology you can trust.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's another great, fun Friday episode today, and we've got a lot in store for you. But first, it's time for me to introduce and bring on my lovely co-host, poultry advocate and author, the one, the only, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat, fun Friday is here. Pat Foreman. Calling.
Hold on there, Whisper. I had myself muted out. But yes, it is fun, frivolous, freaky Friday. So here we go. I've got to warn you right up front. Guess what I did today?
You had your half a cup of coffee.
Can you tell? Yeah, I went to the gym, had a really good workout this morning. I hadn't been all week, and was feeling really lethargic. And then I started down at stopped down at the Healthy Foods Co-op, and they get fresh bagels on Friday. So a friend of mine was there, so we shared a bagel and with cream cheese. Oh, it was so good. And I had some coffee to go with it. So I'm feeling pretty frisky.
Warning, warning, Pat's had coffee, and it's a fun Friday. I don't know if that combination is going to set well with our listeners and fans and homeschoolers, but we'll give it a try today.
Well, I'm usually so pure the rest of the week. So I did have my wheatgrass juice this morning, though, before I went out and did all this this frivolous kind of activity and consumption. But anyway. So, yeah, it is Friday. We've got sunshine here in Virginia, and I brought my little tractor up. It's interesting. We both have tractors now, so we're part of the in-tractor group. And I'm going to put up some poultry fencing this afternoon. I'm kind of looking forward to that. So got the little fence stretcher. Do you use when you put up fences, Whisper, do you use a fence stretcher?
Well, it's a come-along. And so
yeah,
you
with
just
a come-along?
With it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a board you kind of put over it so you can get a nice taut stretch on the fence and then put your staples or your little clips around the metal poles.
Yeah,
Boy,
hey,
I got to tell
Pat.
those little come-alongs have bit me. I find I'm a little scared of them because they can really clamp your fingers if you're not careful.
They can pinch down. You better believe it.
The post pole puller. That can bite too, so I always wear gloves whenever I do this kind of stuff. So anyway, here we are on Friday. What you got planned for the weekend, Whisper?
Well, I just have to razz you a little bit. You did mention that you and I both have a tractor, but I have to tell you that I think my tractor is better than your tractor.
Na 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 na.
you think I have tractor envy, but I don't, because even though your tractor is bigger than mine, mine is newer.
True.
Mine only has 1,000 hours on it.
Jeez, on now, Pat. You've got to use that thing.
I know. How many hours does yours have?
Well, I'm not real sure because the hour meter's broke, so I'm not real sure how many hours. Probably, I don't know, probably about, 250 hours, I'd say.
250 hours, right. I'm buying that one. That's just since you've gotten it, right?
No, that was the very first day I got it.
Now, have you had Jen on your tractor yet? Has she been able to drive it?
She's not really interested in driving the tractor. She's ridden on the tractor with me before, she sat on it and posed for pictures when I was razzing everybody about her being pregnant. It was some great. We had her sit on a non-running park tractor, and I had her sit up there on the tractor, and I got a picture of her, and I said, who started this rumor that pregnant women can't pull their weight around the farm? And so we had a picture of it that we posted, of her on the tractor. Of course, it was non-running and just sitting there still in park, but it was a fun picture. And then I said, hey, while we're at it, let's have some more fun. And we were out taking care of the animals. So I had an empty 50-pound bag of the ManaPro egg maker pellets that we were giving our chickens. And so I said, hey, come here for a minute. So I basically fluffed up the bag so it looked full, and then I set it on her shoulder just perfectly where you couldn't see the open end, of course, and had her holding this empty bag, which appeared to be a 50-pound bag, with the same caption pad. It says, now who again said that pregnant women can't pull their weight around the farm? And here's Jen holding this big 50-pound bag of feed, which happens to be empty. But it made for some great photos and some great comments. We had really fun with it.
that's fun.
But yeah, she didn't. She really has no need to even want to learn. But but she had the same thing with firearms. She didn't really have any interest in firearms. She knew they were in the house and didn't like them being in the house without knowing how to use them. So now it's not anything. It's not a big deal. She knows how to handle them safely. She knows how to work all of them. And in fact, it's not any big deal now for us to go down to the range and have Jen fire off a few on the AK-47. So she's just very comfortable now that she's learned. Yeah, and I got pictures of that too. It's great. Now that she's learned about them, educated on safety and things like that. Same thing with the tractor. Educate her on the safety features, what to do and what not to do. And then I'm sure she'll have no problems with it. If I ever one day leave this wonderful earth, then and God calls me home, then she'll have that knowledge to do that and won't be afraid of it. So that's it's one of our goals for this year, and especially when we start doing more down at the farm. So it is another great episode of Fun Friday. Pat's had her half a cup of coffee, and she's had a bagel. I haven't had anything to eat all day today, so hopefully we can make it through the show. My sugar starts dropping a little bit, and I start talking out of my head, and you know why. But we do have a great show. We're going to start off, as always, with some Chickens in the News segment. And then, of course, we'll go to commercial break. And we come back, we've got some very special guests today that I'm very proud to have on. And then, of course, I'm going to get over here. I don't think that we're going to have Randall Berkey come on, but later today we will be giving away some Happy Hen treats. In fact, I'm going to let you know right now, Pat, you haven't had a chance to do this in a while. We're going to go ahead and have both trivia questions will be submitted today by Pat Foreman. So be on the lookout. Be prepared. She's got about an hour and seven minutes to come up with these two trivia questions. And, of course, we'll be giving away some Happy Hen treats and some Sunflower Sensation from Randall Berkey today towards the end of the show with Chicken Trivia. But we're going to let Pat today come up with the two questions. We've had some doozies in the past, but a lot of people have missed Pat's questions, so you just never know what to expect.
Right.
So we're going to have
Pat
come up with it
right.
today.
Yeah. You didn't come up with any, did you? at least I've got more than 3 minutes to come up with a trivia question this time.
I thought about it this morning. I was thinking, okay, Friday trivia questions, a couple of prizes to give away. This is awesome. And then I said, okay, I was thinking, I had a couple. I was like, you know what? I'll let Pat do it. We haven't had any Pat questions lately, and they are a hoot sometimes. And so we're gonna have you do the so everybody can look forward to that throughout the whole show. What in the world kind of questions are we gonna have today from Pat Foreman? So definitely definitely looking forward.
Let me start thinking about some here. This will be fun.
Yeah.
And how many do you want? Two or three?
We just need two. Yep, just two.
Two. Okay. Two. Coming up with two.
Excellent.
I got
them. Good. Okay, we're going to go to Chickens in the News now. Chickens in the News is always brought to you by MeyerHatchery.com. Visit them online. I know they're taking orders for chicks for spring, and rare breeds are going to run out soon. They're going to sell out, so I want to visit MeyerHatchery.com and go ahead and order your spring chicks from there. So give them a visit at MeyerHatchery.com. I've just got two. I'm going to start with one, which we got a lot of comments about, and then I'm going to follow up with, maybe if you have one, Pat, and then I'll follow up with the last one, which mm-hmm. includes our special guest today is what I'll do. So I'll start with one here that was really a great article. I've gotten tons of comments. You know, thank you for sharing. This is great. I love it. You know, kind of like the old Barbara Mandrell song, I was country before country was cool, that you know, I'm sure you've all heard about and heard that song throughout the years. But this one came out on yesterday, when eating organic wasn't cool. This comes to us from Salon. When eating organic was totally uncool. Before hipsters got rooftop gardens, my poor refugee family ate that way because we had to and we were ashamed. Okay, so it's a really great story. Again, I'll recap that. When eating organic was totally uncool, before hipsters got rooftop gardens, my poor refugee family ate that way because we had to and they were ashamed of it. So here we go. To me, the organic food movement has become dizzyingly, surreally chic. Farmers have become rock stars. The most exclusive restaurants name-check them so much that you can almost see dirt on the menu. But before organic produce exploded into a $25 billion industry, before city gardening became cool, I grew up in a Hmong refugee community, living the urban organic lifestyle not because it was fashionable, but because we were poor. I couldn't wait to leave it behind. I grew up in Del Paso Heights, a mixed-race inner city of Sacramento, California, the kind of neighborhood that had just two grocery stores between endless fast food and liquor shops, and where we were all paid for our groceries with food stamps. It was where we grew organic food and raised chickens in our backyards to survive, and where we did it in secrecy. Like most Hmong in the United States, our community was from Laos, transplanted here after an alliance with the CIA, turned our isolated tribe of farmers into mercenaries, a failed secret war against the communist Vietnamese that left Hmong as the targets of ethnic cleansing. Lifelong farmers turned international refugees. The older generation was ill-prepared to thrive in modern America. They settled into their inner cities, where many turned to social services as safety nets. I remember watching grown-ups lose their identities and self-worth, slip into depression and cycles of poverty, illness, and suicide. These were clan leaders who once commanded the respect of entire villages through guerrilla soldiers trained by the CIA, like my father, and proud providers who had, without writing, committed to memory centuries of the best farming practices. And they were humbled, receiving welfare and food stamps because there was no opportunity then in urban America for their main skill they farmed into the city for two necessities, food and a wistful connection to the old way of life. And so very, very interesting.
Nice.
Article. And yeah, great. And so that came to us under the topic of sustainable food, when eating organic was totally uncool. And I assure you, I'm 41. Pat, I don't want you to tell your age, but you know, I being born,
I'm older than that.
So you have, obviously, the older you are, in most cases, you have more wisdom. Wisdom, I think, comes from age and experience.
I'm going to remind
wisdom,
you of that.
Not necessarily,
too.
Yes, not necessarily book knowledge or college knowledge, but wisdom, in my opinion, is something you get from experience and of course, age. And so, you know, talking about this, the Have More plan with the Robinsons and the Victory Gardens and you know, the comments that some people were made about, you know, the hanging meat outside the neighborhood house in the backyard, mind you, about how the people come here from third world countries and blah, 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 and they need to do it the way we do it and da, 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 and all the comments that were made with that article we read earlier. Earlier in the week, and just a shame when they need a history lesson and learn about the way their great grandparents and great great grand you know here in America, and there's just no way of denying the mammoth movement now of getting back to the way it was the whole nine yards of the financial situation of this country and what's going on, to the quality of our food, to one day the FDA approving a drug. Oh, yes, this is great for everybody. 2 years later, people are dying from it, and they're recalling it, and people are suing now the drug companies because of a drug that was FDA approved, all these things. So, but, you know, so it's just very interesting. This article really was I was glad to see that this young person wrote this and was sharing it about when it wasn't cool. It was more of a necessity. And, you know, it may be with what's going on in this country a necessity one day with the foreclosures and the job rates and the things. And then some people are just choosing to do that for a better lifestyle, better quality of food. So I wanted to share that with you. I'm going to turn it over to you, Pat, if you have any chickens in the news, and then we'll come back and I'll wrap up with a chickens in the news segment that includes our special guest today.
Yes. Thank you. I do. My new issue of Back Home Magazine just came, Whisper, and it's got an article in there. It's called Raising Them Right with a Chicken Checklist, and it's by Kelly Klobner, and there's just one part of this checklist that I just loved, and it's one of the checklists, number 10, and given all the things that have been going on with the eggs and consideration of dioxin and arsenic in commercial eggs, this, to me, it just kind of succinctly put it in perspective, and it's only a few paragraphs long, so I just like to read this one section from the Back Home magazine. It says, it's time to get more serious about egg issues that is beyond shell color. And the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, of course, who we have a guest that come on once a month, Jeanette Barringer from the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, well, the ALBC has a definition for a heritage egg, and it holds that this is an egg that is produced by a hen of one of the breeds that have been recognized by the American Poultry Association before 1950. So we're just going back about 60 years for a definition of a heritage breed. It's interesting that the Society for the Protection of Society for the Preservation of Poultry Antiquities goes back to 1900 for their heritage breeds. But that's just a side note. Says there are a broad and a growing number of egg shows, and we've hosted that. Remember, we've been to the shows live. There was one in Ohio at the Lucasville show, and they were having an egg show. So that was beautiful. And these egg shows are designed to make both consumers and producers better informed about what a quality egg should look like, both inside the shell and in the griddle. So the shell becomes really important, as well as what it really looks like when it's on the stove. A farm fresh egg has always has been something special to consumers, but never, never, ever more so than right now, how we are today. And, of course, it's because of all these concerns about contaminated food. The eggs may well be the one item that has paved the way for the current poultry renaissance, and I think that's to a large part very true. Now, here they're saying about the big chalk white egg of a black Majorca, as opposed to the hybrid, high-producing factory farm birds. So that white egg that's produced by a black Majorca can pack all the same pluses as a brown-shelled egg from, say, a Dominique or a Welsimer. Some people think that brown eggs are more nutritious than white eggs, and fertilized eggs are more nutritious than it sort of all depends on what the chicken eats. But it is the egg. It is an egg from a now rather rare breed. Excuse my little stammering there. In other words, the egg from the black Minorca is from a rare breed, and it's a breed that is historically significant. And because they're heritage breeds, such birds can be raised cage-free, on-range, or in a day-range system. The white egg can be produced additive and organically additive-free and organically sustainable. So here's the bottom line. It says the market for a fancy table egg with a French history that has a flair may never, ever be great. But heaven forbid, what happens to modern poultry production if a long-buried genetic flaw befalls the production of the Leghorn, the Cornish, or the White Plymouth Rock, as their lines have befallen, just as lines have befallen certain breeds of cattle and sheep in the past. We've lost some breeds of cattle and sheep. They've become extinct. So this can also happen to chickens, and that's probably what this article is about. And it says it's time that many of us thought, this is a time that many of us thought would never come again with those who love the feathered livestock. And it has come at a time when the small farm sector and the consuming public needs and wants a change. And who knows, the resurgence of good breeds of poultry may even lead to animal agriculture and poultry husbandry that is more sustainable and, of course, more humane. So I just love that, because it really says if you're going to back your local producers, especially those that are working with that rare and endangered heritage breeds, or even if they're just heritage breeds that aren't necessarily rare, you're still helping to preserve the genetic diversity and certainly supporting better animal husbandry of our feathered friends, as well as sustainability. So that's all I've got for today, Whisper. I just love the point of that the egg color isn't necessarily as important as the breed of the chicken and how it was raised.
Amazing. And I know that a lot of shows, they're actually doing egg judging now.
That's right.
With a lot of the shows, and it was judging eggs and not just the chickens. And then I've never heard about them judging kind of what it looks like once you crack it open. I mean, maybe that's part of egg judging too. I've never seen that at any of the shows where they actually have done the egg judging. So very,
well, it used to be that way. In fact, the old fairs, I was talking, you know how you talk with chicken breeders and some of the old timers. I had a wonderful conversation with the three of them at breakfast one morning at the Lucasville show. They were saying that in the old days, you would have the hen there and her eggs. So you could really see, you know, what the hen looked like to produce those eggs. And they did much more with judging on form and function. In other words, there's a certain physique that an egg layer has as opposed to a physique that a meat bird has. And the heritage breeds could produce a lot more than a lot of the heritage breeds did today, but it kind of fell back because everything went inside and went to the commercial hybrids, the Cornish crosses. So I think I would love to see, in fact, maybe that's something we can talk to the American Poultry Association about and the American Bantam Association about, maybe starting to get back to some of those old ways of the shows about having the eggs collected from the hen and then actually put on display so you can see chicken and egg in the same blink. So anyway, I don't know how you'd verify that egg came from that chicken, but of course, I guess there is an integrity issue there, or maybe the flock. Yeah.
Sure.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll talk to them next time we have them on. We'll just we'll talk to them and see what they have to say about that, and what show or more shows starting to go that route.
Well, what's interesting is the egg shows are mainly coming from the Americanas and the Welsomers and the Morans. Of course, the Welsomers and Morans have those really dark chocolate. They're there because they're so strikingly rich looking. And I got to tell you, I have two Morans, and when I put their dark chocolates, one or two of those dark chocolate eggs in with the turquoise ones and the white ones and the brown ones, it is a striking when you open the carton, you go, oh wow, it looks like Christmas balls almost in there. So I think, and I hear that in some cases these dark chocolate eggs are selling for like $10 a dozen, and again, not because they're so nutritionally different, it's just because they're so striking and at least in our culture unique. How about that?
Interesting. I'm going to go ahead and we'll go to the next chickens in the news. This comes to us from News 10, W10.com out of Albany, New York. Now, down here in Georgia, we have a city, Albany, but most people down here call it Albany. But I'm sure up there it's maybe Albany. And so News 10, W10.com. And I'm going to, it's a video story. You can see it at our Facebook page at facebook.com/The Chicken Whisperer. I don't know how the sound quality is going to be. I'm going to try to play it here for you guys to see if y'all can hear the news story. And then our special guest today, which we'll bring on right after the next break, are featured in this video story up there regarding a judge ordering them to get rid of all of their pet chickens. So I'm going to see if we can't and just if you once this news story starts to play, if you'll let me in the chat room, the chat folks are great letting me know sound quality if you can hear it. I'll try to adjust it best I can. I can't promise any quality here. I'm going to just so you can hear the news story of the guest that we're going to have on today. And then we'll go to commercial break after we play this and then bring them on and they can tell us their story. So, again, I'm going to try to play this for everybody. And you let me in the chat room know kind of sound quality if you can even hear kind of what's going on. Here we go. Okay, hang on. I know y'all couldn't hear that, so hang on just a second. Give me one moment, because I want to play this news story for you guys before we bring them on. So give me about 15 seconds here, and you can still hear me now, can't you, Pat?
Yeah, you're coming through very clear.
Okay, give me just one second. I'm going to see if I can't. Let me see where I need to go over here to... Yep, okay, hang on one sec. I want to make sure I go to the right place on the... I really would like for this to work so y'all could hear this, and then if not, I can read it, but it's not quite as in detailed in the story as the video, so I'm going to see if we can't play this for you. Almost there, folks. If it works, great. If it doesn't, well, it doesn't. And we're going to be talking to the guest live anyway, so see if we can get this to work for you guys. Okay, here we go. We're going to try this, okay?
Landing in a new home and an animal rescue is a
Okay, Pat. There was wanted to share that with everybody, and actually got that to work. So let me get back over here to where we can go to commercial break. When we come back, we're going to welcome John and Brenda to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show. So we'll be back right after this short break.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is the 7th day of January 2011, and it is our first Fun Friday of the year. It is now time to go to the phone lines today, and we're going to bring on our special guest today. We just featured them in a part of our Chickens in the News segment, and we've got John and Brenda Helm, who are chicken lovers just like everybody else that listen to the show around the world. And but unfortunately, for some reason, and they're going to explain to us why, the judge has ordered them to get rid of all their pet chickens because, oh my gosh, they're such a nuisance. They're such a oh my gosh, they're just horrible for the town. They're horrible for property values. Oh my goodness gracious, what are we going to do for a few pet chickens in our backyard? I was thinking yesterday about this. So yesterday we talked about, you know, kind of the same thing, you know, about the comparing the chickens and all the issues that people think they're going to have, and I came across yesterday we talked about with Dr. Bridget McRae the mosquitoes and dumping water in toys and pools and things about, you know, maybe if we're going to ban chickens in a town, or a town does have bans chickens in the backyard, pet chickens, maybe they need to talk about, maybe we need to start a big movement to ban potted plants, because those can collect water that then can collect mosquito larvae. And I can tell you right now that mosquitoes have killed more people on this planet than all the wars put together, but potted plants are allowed, bird baths are allowed, that could also breed mosquitoes that could kill millions of people, but a few chickens in the backyard are not allowed. So just one of those things, trying to keep that in perspective when we go and fight City Hall. But welcome to the show, John and Brenda. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Oh, well, thank you, Andy. We certainly appreciate you putting this on, and I was getting quite a chuckle out of what you were just saying. It's funny because the town also has issues with radiation leakage into the air and into the water, as well as sewage overflowing. But my chickens are the issue.
Amazing. Start us from scratch. We did hear a little bit. I'm not sure the sound quality on my end or on the listeners' end of the news article we played from News 10, but you basically kind of brought home and surprised your wife with some baby chicks and raised them from, I guess, that age. Tell us kind of what gave you that idea. Is this something y'all were looking at doing for a while? What gave you the idea to do that? And then the process of raising the baby chicks and how long you've had them.
Sure. We had a dog. We just moved into the house that we live in currently in December of 2008. It's my grandfather's house that he built out of stone back in the 1930s, and he'd always had chickens on the property. He died in 1996, and so we didn't think much of it because he already had chickens and a huge chicken coop, about 14 by 28. And he had a flock, maybe 30 or 40. So that was one of the deciding factors. We had lost our dog. We inherited the dog with the house, and my brother's children wanted the dog back eventually when they got settled. And so we had to give the dog away. And so there was that. And then, of course, Brenda was diagnosed last January with lung cancer. Thank God it turned out not to be, but she still had two-thirds of her right lung removed. So I had gone and looked into the town codes, and the only thing that the town code had was a definition of a farm. And it clearly states in there if you're raising poultry for gain. Well, we weren't raising poultry for gain. We thought of it, and it does say we're an R3 district, and in the R3 district, you can have pets. We weren't looking for gain. We wanted something to replace our dog, and I wanted to give Brenda kind of a reason to get up and get out after surgery. So we bought the chickens, and they were a week and a half old. One of them ended up being a rooster. We had them sexed probably a little too early. I think you have to sex them after 3 or 4 weeks, and they were sexed at about a week and a half old. So I brought a dozen of them home. We knew about the rooster law. They did have, that is on the book, you can't have a rooster because of the noise. That was fine. Mm-hmm. And we found a rescue ranch for the rooster, and it's the same place as the quarter acre rescue ranch where the chickens are right now. So I brought them home for her. And we raised them. We hadn't even gotten eggs from the chickens when we'd gotten the notice to. originally for the first 2 months they were in the house with us, and then when we put them outside on late May, early June, by June 4th we had received notification from the town that we can't have chickens, and we wrote to the town and we asked them, "Well, please explain why." Well, we didn't know why, because we had gone through the town codes and we didn't see any reason why we couldn't have pet chickens. Well, they just said, "Well, we're in violation of a definition of a farm." I said, "Well, how can we be in violation of a definition of a, I don't know how you can be in violation of a definition to begin with, but it's because it's not a law. There's no specific law that says you cannot have chickens in the R3 district. It says you can have pets, but it did not say you cannot have chickens."
Mm-hmm.
And even by that point, even if they if it was or wasn't for gain, our chickens didn't start laying until about the second week of August anyway. There was no gain to be had at the time, you know what I'm saying, that we...
My understanding that I would interpret that as, you know, for gain would be, you know, retail. You know, having a commercial farm that you're, you know, you're selling these eggs, you're selling
right.
your chickens, you're selling milk, you're selling beef, you're selling cows. You know, obviously, you know, anybody with any common sense would you know, a farm is for gain.
Right.
As far,
and
know,
they define, the town code has a definition for gain. It says pecuniary gain or profit. Pecuniary meaning, of course, financial. That was never our intention. And, I mean, certainly with any pets, you have some kind of gain. We have cats. They kill the rodentia around here. And so they keep our property clean. And I don't know if that's a gain, I guess. I suppose it is. It keeps the rodentia down. And, of course, with chickens, you get eggs. We never sold our eggs. We freely give it to our neighbors, friends, anybody who wants them. We even tried to give it away to local food pantries, but they don't take it because they have to have processed food in a can or in a package. So
processed food. Yeah, that's healthy. That's nice and healthy.
Yeah, right. Now, and we feed ours. We like to say they're 100% organic, but every once in a while we'll have a pizza, and our chickens just absolutely adore pizza. So they're 99.9% organic.
I'm the bad one. I give them treats.
I love it, treats. Well, they love treats.
They do. They deserve them. They're good girls.
Let's say the chickens can do well with treats. They deserve treats, absolutely. Now, the... some questions in the chat room are coming up. I'll get to those in just a second. But now, did you mention to them that there's been chickens on the property since the 30s and no one's ever had a problem until now?
Right. Yes, we did. They said they were getting town complaints, but we only heard of one complaint from the town planning officer, which was Kathy Matern. She said that she didn't like the chickens and therefore they had to go. Now, she told
us whoa. No, wait a minute. Let me stop you there. Okay, so there wasn't, as far as you know, a neighbor complaint.
No.
It was a complaint from this woman who works for the town, and her complaint was, "I don't like chickens, so therefore you can't have them."
You got it. I couldn't say it any better myself, Andy. Thank you.
No, I mean, I've been doing this long enough. It's just, you know, sometimes you have to put things into perspective where it sounds so ridiculously stupid for people to understand, for people to understand that. So sometimes we do try to do that. So it wasn't no neighbor complaints, to make this clear. No neighbors were saying smell or noise or rodents or property values or any of these other things that you normally hear. It was just this young lady who works for the city was
right.
Basically, you know, "I don't like chickens, so you can't have
them." As a matter of fact, our neighbors, if they have little children, they bring them over kind of to watch the chickens or feed them. They are pets, and they're very friendly. You can walk up to them and you can rub their backs. They squat down and then they fluff up all of a sudden, like 2 seconds after you do it, and it's really cute to watch. And it's very educational for the children. We've had quite a few kids come over. We're certain our neighbors have assured us they have not complained.
Right. But you don't even have many neighbors to begin with. That sounds like from the news article where y'all actually live.
Right. Well, if you look across, I don't know if you saw the video, but if you look across the street, there's nothing but a field, and to the left of that is an Army Reserve base, and to just behind the Army Reserve is all industrial. Our neighbors are she's got to be a good. Well, on one side they're maybe 40 or 50 feet away. On the other side, a good. Maybe 100 yards away. And those are the ones that would be most affected by the chickens. And we've gone to two neighbors down on each side of us, and we've asked, and they said no. they absolutely love the chickens.
Amazing. Now, okay, to continue the story, you went to court, so that they had to actually, I guess, ticket you or fine you or what have you, give you a citation to get you a court date. So you go to court, you're fighting for your wonderful pet chickens that you've raised from baby chicks that aren't bothering anybody, but apparently the only reason why is some lady who works there doesn't like chickens. And there's, as far as you're concerned, no law that says you can't have them. So you go into court, and tell us about that. I mean, obviously you had to get rid of your chickens because something that was decided in the court. Tell us about what happened in court and the justification, and I guess also not just justification, but the interpretation, and that's how a lot of times it happens, the interpretation of maybe a law based on how that judge may interpret that, or even input his personal opinion. I've heard judges say, for example, well, I know if I was going to looking at a house next to yours to buy, I personally wouldn't want to live next to someone who had chickens. Well, you know, Judge, I can show you, 60,000 other people that actually would. So, you know, that's moot. You wouldn't, but I would. So right there, we counteract each other. So a lot of times opinion comes into it. So tell us about the court and how it came about that you had to get rid of your chickens.
Okay, I'm going to let Brenda answer that because she does a lot of the digging for us. So go ahead, Brenda.
Well, we went to the court. We went for several different appearances. The first appearance we went to, the town attorney didn't even show up, and there were no charges filed against us, and yet they held it over. So we went back and forth to court all the way up until January. During that time, we did get a lawyer, and our lawyer filed several motions for dismissal. And all of them were denied. We looked for a change of venue or anything else that would help, and everything was denied. We moved forward for trial, even though no paperwork had been filed by the town attorney to bring us to trial. The judge issued a decision that said, yeah, you're going to trial anyway. So we went on January 3rd, did the testimony, submitted paperwork, got everything we could into evidence. And the judge ruled against us based on a larger definition of the word farm. Because it came down to, obviously, the argument was, we don't need to be a farm to have pet chickens. That's just absurd. And, of course, we never wanted to be a farm and wouldn't qualify as one. His decision came down to his interpretation of a farm animal, and a chicken can only be a farm animal. It cannot be a pet. Therefore, he fined us nearly $4,000 and gave us 72 hours to get rid of the babies.
Oh. Well,
$4,000, where's that fine come from?
He wanted to fine us $20 per day per chicken, and we have 11. So it's $20 per day times 11, retroactive back to June 24th, which came up to over $108,000.
Oh, well, initial fine is $500 a day for each day of violation, going back to the June 4th, and that would be over $108,000. So instead of $500, he said $20 a day, and that still comes up to $4,000.
And that's the fine we need to pay for something that caused no damage and broke no law. And right up until the end, no law was ever cited against us that we had broken. And in the post-interview after the trial, even the town attorney said that they need to better define the law, which now gives them, of course, carte blanche to go ahead and change a law, create new restrictions that didn't exist before, and follow no procedure to do so.
Absolutely.
No, they'd have to follow a procedure to change the law, public hearing and all that. I mean, that's
one would think, but then one would think one would have to be charged with a crime in order to get a criminal record and go to court in this nature. And these guys have their own game.
Are you going to counter, Sue? It says in your article you are.
Yeah, we're filing the appeal now, but we're also, if we win with the appeal, and even if we don't, we do intend to file a civil suit against the town. And I should mention, while all this has been going on, this has been incredibly stressful. And, you know, I didn't have lung cancer. I had a bacterial infection, very rare, called actinomycosis, and I'm not in the clear yet. And I've been so busy with this, and I'm just slipping back into depression so hard that I haven't even followed up with my doctor. It just, the concern for my girls outweighs my own personal concern.
So yet y'all are going to appeal. We had some in the chat room. You're going to appeal this, and I guess take it to the next level. And just things that are popping into my mind now, for example, in fact, I've got it in my desk right now, the American Heritage Dictionary. If you look up the term pet, it basically says any animal for companionship and pleasure. Period. It doesn't specify, even in the dictionary, any pet kept for companionship and pleasure. So, yes, chickens. We've got companies out there called MyPetChicken.com.
Mm-hmm.
We've got chicken treats. We've got chicken toys. There's chicken diapers, for Pete's sake. There's chicken aprons that they can wear to you know. So, I mean, it's all these things that how anybody in their right mind can't visualize. And then you have this huge movement, and you have, you know, hundreds of towns that have now allowed backyard chickens and
right.
pet chickens across the country. I don't see how you can't take a look at all the information that's out there, all the websites, all the forums, you know, mypetchicken.com. How can you say no pet chickens when there's websites, there's businesses, there's radio shows, there's books coming out all about pet chickens, but yet you say they can't be defined as a pet, and he talks about the broader sense of a farm. Well, you know, he also, I think, needs to look at dogs and cats. Dogs are farm animals. You know,
mm-hmm.
dogs
right.
were initially agriculture used on the farm to help the farmer. So now maybe dogs fall under, you know, what the definition of a farm is. So you can't have any dogs either. You know, I don't know if in the law there, I guess, is an elephant a farm animal? Do they consider that a farm animal? Maybe you put an elephant in your backyard and see what happens if there's no laws that say you can't have an elephant, because I don't think an elephant, I wouldn't consider an elephant a farm animal, so obviously if farm animals aren't allowed, maybe an elephant is. So, you know, you start going down that line of ridiculousness,
right.
if that's a word, of this. And the thing is, no complaints. It stems from some lady who, I don't like chickens, and so then they try to do whatever they can to have you get rid of them after they've been on the property since the 30s. At
mm-hmm.
that point, we had something here in the Atlanta area in the city of Roswell where that happened, and they our meetup group helped this gentleman initially try to, you know, and we pointed out the law to him, and we said, look, you know, this is bogus, you know, the way the law's written, it's ambiguous, and the judge of the town actually threw it out, said, yes, this is ambiguous, and so we have to file for the homeowner, where basically the law, and sometimes you got to pick through these like y'all did. It said. It was based on zoning, not animal control, but based on zoning, and the category or the column was livestock, comma, not including poultry and hogs. So any fourth grader would read that and say, okay, the following information pertains to livestock, comma, but not poultry and hogs. So obviously
right.
somewhere in here there's got to be a term for poultry and hogs, and there wasn't. And so he won. Well, the council, many of us crowded into the chambers when council kind of developed a new law, since apparently the judge said they know that chickens are fine, and they created this new law and then tried to enforce this law on all the chicken owners that had already had chickens for many years, and some over a couple of decades. And then they went back, and he went back and fought that, and this is what the judge said to the city attorney. He asked them, okay, let me get this straight. If I had right now a house that was painted white, and the council decided to create a law that now no white houses are allowed in the city of Roswell, then you're saying the way that y'all created this new chicken law is I would have to then paint my house because I've had a white house for the last 40 years. And it really caught the guy off guard, and he basically had no other reason but to say, yes, that's true. And the judge says, you can't do that. That's ridiculous. And he referred to another case regarding that. The sad thing is, and you know, they know how to work the system too, is that now you don't have chickens. So if they did create a law that may eliminate you from being grandfathered in, and that was the next case, you know, if chickens have been on your property since the 30s, you can document that and whatnot, that, you know, whatever new law you create, we should be grandfathered in because, you know, the same thing with the white houses that he referred to, which was very, very interesting. But I can't believe 4,000 $1,000 fine, which initially added up to initially what they wanted would have been $108,000. And how many chickens did you have total, Brenda?
11.
11 chickens, and you were going to get fined, not because of any public outcry, not because of any issues or any complaints from specific from neighbors, but somebody who doesn't even live near you, may not even live in the town or county, she just happens to work there and doesn't like chickens, and somehow found out that you had chickens, and so lo and behold, now $4,000 fine, and you had to get rid of your pets. And yes, chickens can be pets. I don't know how anybody can have their head so far in the sand to not realize, if they did the research, that chickens can't be pets. I mean, did they not have, go down to the local pet store, you know, snakes. Anybody ever thought a snake could be a pet? You know, I mean, but they have snakes in the pet store. They have ferrets, which are really, you know, badgers mice. I'm not a big fan of rats or mice. I'm not a big fan of ferrets, or I'm definitely not a big fan of a tarantula or a snake, but apparently those can be classified as pets, because if you go to the local pet store there, what are they selling? Snakes. But I personally didn't have a pet snake. So, you know, all this stuff that just doesn't add up and doesn't make sense is that, you know, and then they're trying to define farm, and even you, which I love, saying, you know, for gain. This is nothing for gain, as far as financial gain regarding farm and agriculture. And then they try to use that to their advantage. It just, it's amazing. Yeah, gerbils and hamsters, as people were saying in the chat room, absolutely insane. And you know, that's unfortunately what this country has become over the years. I don't get it. I don't know really why. But it's, you know, rat out on your neighbor, complain on your neighbor because you don't like something they're doing. You know, it's just it's amazing. And that wasn't even your case. Where anybody around you had complained. So what? So right now, the kind of the plan of action now is you're going to appeal. And where do you go to appeal? Right back to the same folks, or do you try to take it one step further, go up maybe to the state level? What's the game plan now?
Yes, sir. Our lawyer is taking care of those matters. I think the judge told us she has 30 days after to make the appeal. Now, almost every other court gives you up to between 60 and 90 days, but he wanted to, you know, he's just going to just kind of grind us. And so he only gave her 30 days, and so she's working on that currently. And as you said before, I wouldn't begrudge anybody their right to a certain type of pet, and chickens are certainly pets as well. People keep exotic birds all the time. What's the difference between a domestic bird and an exotic bird? It's a bird, but they keep them.
Yeah, exotic bird. Chickens were domesticated, depending on what information you look at, 6,000 to 10,000 years ago.
It isn't like you see a wild flock of chickens running around. I mean, they're lowest on the food chain. They get eaten. You have to keep them domestically because they don't exist out in the wild. I guess it was Asian jungle fowl is where they originally. But even that, you know, they're still so far removed from Asian jungle fowl at this point that they have to be kept domestic. And domestic to me means a pet.
Right. And then, you know, domesticated fowl. I mean, chickens are domesticated, and that's easy enough to prove. If someone says, well, you know, you can only have domestic pets or household pets, or
that's
you know,
what it does.
Well, our chickens actually on occasion have been household pets because we're in upstate New York and the winters get very cold, and I don't like my girls outside if it goes down below 15 degrees, so we actually have a room for them in our basement that they come in, and that's where they stay warm, and they've been known to come up into the house and eat next to the cats out of the cat food dish.
They love cat food today.
Oh, yeah. they love anything, just about. But we try to keep it organic feed.
Let's go to the chat room and see if we have any questions for Brenda and John. Pat, how about yourself?
Well, what I'd like to say is Brenda and John, gosh, both Andy and I will be glad to help you out any way we can, including I'll be glad to have my publisher send a copy of City Chicks to any of your city council members or officials or the assistant city attorney.
Thank you.
We've done this before in cities that are up against this kind of thing and being so ridiculous, and I think it has helped. Certainly in Kensington, Maryland, we gave all the city council members a copy of City Chicks, and because of the chicken skill sets and the advantages of managing some of the solid waste, diverting solid waste from the landfill, I think that really helped turn the tide because they could see that there are other financial benefits as well as local food self-security and emergency preparedness and even national defense preparedness because of the food local food supply. So if you just email me or send me your contact information or we could talk afterwards.
Absolutely.
Be glad to do that. More than glad to do that.
Yes, absolutely. Some questions in the chat room real quick because I know we've got just maybe 10 minutes with you left. Do y'all have a group around you locally, like a chicken club or a chicken group or a meetup group? Do you know other folks that have chickens in your town?
Yes, we've gotten quite a lot of support from other chicken owners. Matter of fact, the Quarter Acre Rescue Ranch in Johnsonville, where we brought our chickens, has been beneficial in helping us out with this by giving us a place to bring them. And also feeding, you know, continue to feed them organic food, and Brenda could comment on some of the other people she's been talking to.
We haven't found any actual groups up here for us. We found a few individuals through Facebook, but I've been unable to locate any actual groups.
Okay. Another question we had here is: can you go and visit your chickens that you've raised from chicks?
Yes.
At the ranch? You can. Okay.
Oh yes, and she's also on Facebook, and so she gives us updates through there as well. She's wonderful.
Very good. Now you say it's called the Quarter Acre Rescue Ranch. Are they on a quarter acre? Or is that just the name?
They're on a little bit more than a quarter of an acre. It's kind of just a name, and they have. They've had to do some land grab because they rescue horses and mules and that kind of thing. That's mostly what they do. But they also have chickens and bunnies, and they accommodated us. They cleaned out an entire section, probably a good 15 by 15 foot section, to put our chickens specifically. And they have a little gated area where they can go outside, so they really accommodated it as well. Even though the land isn't as much as you would think it would be, but and they're involved in their own fight too with their local town.
What's the population of the town you live in, if you know?
It's about 4,500.
4,500 people, and they
right.
have obviously, and you're already talking about the other issues that the town has. Because, you know, and we all get caught up in this. You think, you know, New York, you think New York. And then,
right.
You know, so, but when we go, when we went on tour last April, we were in a lot of very rural areas of New York. So people think New York City, you know. In fact, Walter says, in New York City, even you can keep chickens, which we know is true, in Brooklyn and places like that. So a town of 4,500, and you already told about some of the problems they have. Of radiation leaks and I think you said and other things like that, but yet they have the time and the using the taxpayer money to go after somebody where no one's complained about anything. A little bit too much time on their hands and maybe not enough time dealing with the
real
issues. And then finally, before we let you go, it was mentioned in the chat room, of course, as well. And this is something, since you do have my email address, obviously, somebody talked about a phone call, fax, and email campaign. And
yes.
We are really good. We are really, really good at that. And we can put that on our Facebook page, our Twitter, and of course, on the radio show and everywhere else. And
awesome.
So if you would like for us to do that, all you need to do is over the weekend, we'll come back and we broadcast live on Monday. We'll share that with everybody, maybe even start it today. You know what we might do is we may start it over the weekend, so when all the folks come back on Monday morning, their inboxes of their email will have,
that
you know,
would be,
300
that
email.
Would be, yeah, we're looking. That's the kind of support we're looking for, Andy. We need. We're okay financially, but we really need as many people as we can to speak out, fax in, write in, phone in, however it's got to get done. That's what we're looking to do, especially when we go, you know, eventually to the Court of Appeals. We want to get all this information in as much as possible, and let them know, make them aware that there are that you know, across the country, people have pet chickens, and they want to keep them as pets.
They Walter in the chat room, because basically we said, and we kept it simple, that there were no neighbor complaints, no specific complaints about anything, just a woman who is employed by the city personally doesn't like chickens, and so now you have to get rid of them. Walter in the chat room asked, if you get enough people in the town that don't like that woman, does she have to go too?
I don't think
certainly worth looking into.
Although I don't think the rescue ranch will take her.
Yeah. We haven't. It's funny. We've been getting comments like that all the time. Somebody asked if they were pit bull chickens, and then of course. Yeah. And somebody, one other person wrote in and said, "Well, I've got a few fish in my pond. Am I a fish farm? You know, things like that all the time." So yeah, I mean, it really is ridiculous. It's just. You know, it just boils down to one person.
But to clarify, we hold no animosity against the judge. He just doesn't know better. And that's the scary thing, is someone who doesn't know any better is dictating with unchecked power of what's a pet and what landowners can lawfully do with their land. And he needs to be educated.
As does the rest of the board. And if anybody, if we could continue with that campaign.
You're right. Well, you're exactly right. I've told council members, I'm like, look, you know, when we're done presenting our case, we really feel like you can only do two things if you're going to vote no. Vote. You can say, well, I just personally don't like chickens, and I'm voting no, which they can do, even though they're,
right.
Or they can fall back on that, well, I'm here to do what my constituents want me to do, and the majority of them do not want chickens as neighbors, da-da-da-da-da. But yet I tell them that they have a responsibility. If the majority of their constituents are unclear, uneducated, and have no clue what they're saying no to, none of them probably have ever seen a beautiful, beautiful 6x6 coop with a half a dozen chickens in the backyard. They have no idea what they're saying no to. Then the council member has a responsibility to educate himself so he can vote, because if everybody, his constituents, are saying no, we don't want this, based on rumors, stereotypes, and false information, then he, as the elected official, has the responsibility to vote based on the factual information. And so we share that with them too. So what I'm going to do is, you've got my email address. If you can get, because I wouldn't know who really we need to send our emails to, supporting you, number one, and then educating them, sending them pictures of our coop, sending them pictures of all the benefits. Pat's going to be sending books, sending pictures of our kids playing with our chickens and all the benefits of, and you know, websites like mypetchicken.com. Things like that, then if you can just email that to me, I'll get it together. We'll put it on Facebook and, of course, Twitter, and then on Monday when we come back and broadcast live this coming Monday, then we'll share that with all of our listeners as well, post that information in the chat room, so we can hopefully get as many people as we can send emails over the weekend, so Monday morning when they come in, they'll have, you know, hopefully a few hundred emails all about educating them on backyard chicken. So that's what we would hope to do. So sometime between now and whenever you can get that, just the names, their position, their email address.
Brenda can do that for you, Andy, and she'll have it probably within the next 5 to 10 minutes to you. So
that's fine.
Myself, I want to thank you and all the listeners for all the support. I do have to go, but I'll leave you with Brenda.
Yes. Right. We thank you for joining us today. We'll go ahead and let both of you go, and please keep us informed and updated on what's going on with you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and thank all
your
listeners.
Thanks,
God bless you all.
All righty, folks, there you have it. It wasn't a case of smell, property values, rodents, chickens being loose, crowing. It was none of that, according to John and Brenda. It was basically a lady who works for their city or their town, just doesn't like chickens and said they have to go, even though, according to John and Brenda, there's no laws that say they can't have chickens. There's been chickens on their property for over 30, or since the 30s, over a half a century there's been chickens on the property? Absolutely ridiculous. And so there you have it. Welcome to America with a big fat K. And that many of you know exactly what that means and how to interpret that. But it's just ridiculous. You know, we come to you, Pat and I, and we share stories like this. We've been fighting for this, whether it be, like Pat says, human rights, property rights, you know,
poultry
constitutional rights. poultry right, you know, exactly. And it's just amazing. You just shake your head in disgust about everything else that's going on in this country, and then you got something like this where people can't, you know, have pet chickens, not bothering anybody, no complaints at all, and it's just ridiculous. It just makes you fuming. It's kind of like, again, even last night as me and Jen were looking at different types of plants and crops for our farm, we were watching Emergency on the Retro Channel, Rockford Files, and night after night after night, have you or a loved one been injured or killed from a drug, this particular drug, then, you know, hire us and we'll sue the drug company and you'll make millions off of a drug that was approved by the FDA as sound and fine and healthy and no problems. So what is wrong with that picture? Now these people can't have their 12 or 11 pet chickens in their yard, but yet people are dying from drugs that were approved by the FDA on a regular basis. How corrupt and crazy is that? Welcome to America. We're going to go to a short break. When we come back, we will have Friday Fun Friday Chicken Trivia. We're giving away some Happy Hen Treats from RandallBurkey.com, and we'll be back right after this short break. When you need an incubator, think Brency, the incubation specialist. Brency has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brency.com. Brency spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brency.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brency, technology you can trust.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try ManaPro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFRadio.com. That's GQFRadio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches,
barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for listening today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer on Blog Talk Radio. It's another great fun Friday, the first fun Friday of January 2011, and we're having a great time and a great interview. Great interview with John and Brendan. We'll keep you posted on all that information and what we can do to help them or to help, drive a little sense into the town and to the judge to educate them on, yes, chickens can be pets. So very cool. All righty, Pat, it is your time to shine with today's chicken trivia. Today's chicken trivia is brought to you by RandallBurkey.com. Visit them online at RandallBurkey.com. And if anytime you order 24/7 at RandallBurkey.com, if you use the coupon code Whisper, you'll get 10% off your entire order there at RandallBurkey.com. All righty, Pat, question number one. We'll take caller number four. Caller number four, 347-637-3237. If you know the answer to the following question from Pat Foreman.
Okay. This, you're going to either love or not like this. But since it's fun, freaky, frolicking, frivolous Friday, the question is, what do you get when you cross a dog with a chicken? What do you get when you cross a dog with a chicken? Can you tell us a chicken joke? What do you get when you cross a dog with a chicken?
I'm just shaking my head at that some of the answers that I'm going to get here. You know, PG rated, radio show. We have a lot of homeschoolers out there, so if you want to take a gab at that, then 347-637.
Well, we were talking about breeding chickens earlier, for the eggs and how it's important to keep these heritage breeds going. So who knows what answers might come up with this one? So what do you get when you cross a dog with a chicken?
And it's got to match Pat's answer exactly, regardless of what you find on Google or Scroogle or Yahoo or WebCrawler or Bing or whatever. Your answer has to match Pat's exactly. So 347.
Brits and Grits says a chicken with bad manners. My dogs have very good manners. They come when I call them, and they sit. And so nope. That's I'll be right up front. Don't call in with that one, Brits. It's not a chicken with bad manners.
347-637. 347-637-3237. And the switchboard's starting to light up, so we're going to go right to the phone lines and see what we get here. All righty, caller number four. Calling in from area code 302-302. Welcome to the show. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
My name's Jennifer Harris. I'm calling from Delaware.
Jennifer. Okay, I don't know how scientific of an answer this is, but go ahead. I surely don't know the answer, so we'll have to rely on Pat. What do you think you get when you cross a chicken and a dog?
Is it a poached egg?
Yes, you get a poached egg. Congratulations, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Okay, Jennifer, I know you've won in the past, so very simply, either via Facebook, send us a message with your shipping address. I'll forward that to Randall Berkey at Peach over there, or you can send it all your shipping information to Chicken Whisperer at chickenwhisperer.net. Chicken Whisperer at chickenwhisperer.net. Either way, Facebook or the email, and we'll get those happy hen treats out to you as soon as we can. Okay, Pat, we've got another one. Go ahead with question number two.
Okay, you sure you're ready for this, Whisper?
I don't know. I guess I am.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it because you're that kind of guy. What do you get when you cross a chicken with a guitar? What do you get when you cross a chicken with a guitar?
Okay, we'll also take caller number. Let's move it up one. We'll go to caller number 5. Had a lot of people last time that wanted to try and sound in. So we'll go to caller number 5 at 347-637-3237. Again, that caller number is 347-637-3237. And what you get when you cross a chicken with a guitar. Now, would it be an acoustic
guitar? Did you see Angela's comment in the chat room? It says, you get man's best feathered friend. That's very clever.
Now, is this an acoustic guitar or an electric guitar, a bass guitar, a 6-string, a 12-string, or does it matter?
It does not matter.
Okay. So it could be a banjo.
It could be a banjo.
It could be a violin.
It could be a violin. It could be mandolin.
Okay, very good. There you go, folks. What do you get when you cross a chicken and a guitar?
A guitar.
All right, I'm going to give a couple more people a chance to call in here. We get up to caller number 5, and then we'll go to the airwaves, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, the suspense. I can just feel it building. I like the feathered friend, man's best feathered friend for the dog. Cross the chicken. I got a couple more if we want to keep going.
I don't know how much this I can take. I don't know how much I can take. So
I know. You can have too much fun. It is possible to have
too much fun. All righty, we're going to caller number 5 right now. Caller calling in from area code 609. If you'll state your name and tell us where you're calling from, please.
It's Louise, the only person that calls from Jersey.
Hey, Louise.
I don't have that information, but it's calling from Joyzy.
From Jersey.
The other day, yesterday, I think I put on my Facebook page, I said, and sorry for the homeschoolers out there, I said, what the heck is a Snooki in a situation? And I was like, what in the world? You know, I was watching Good Morning America or something, and they just talked about a Snooki and a situation that was going to be coming up next, and I had no clue. And then it had to do with the show called Jersey Shore. So anyway, I just didn't know if you were a fan of that or not, being from up there. But, okay, first things first, what do you think you get when you cross a chicken? And now, does it matter if it's a hen or a rooster, Pat?
Well, I think if you're going to cross it, it probably ought to be a hen.
Okay. What do you get when you cross a chicken and a guitar? What do you think?
A chicken that makes music when you pluck it.
See? That's exactly right.
Okay. There you go, folks. Only on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Thank you very much for calling. And I know you
Googled
know the
it, too. Hey, Louise, you found that when you Googled it, didn't you?
Did.
See, it's in the internet. It's common knowledge.
Hey, if it's on the internet, it's common knowledge. Very good. Just like we need to Google pet chicken, and maybe that could be common knowledge for the folks up in New York that have no clue that they're getting rid of the Brenda and John's chickens. All righty. Well, Louise, just send us, you know the drill, either via Facebook, your shipping address, or chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Send me your shipping address. We'll get that over to Peach. Also, the person who won on Monday, I think they sent me a message that they sent me their information. I haven't received it. So if you're the one that won on Monday with the Hen Saver Hen Apron this past Monday, send me your information again. I do not have it, and I want to get that prize out to you. And we hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. We made it through another long work week together, first week of January, the new year 2011. We've had some great shows this week, the Preparedness Show on Monday, the Heritage Chef Steve Pope on Tuesday, Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD, on Thursday, another great fun Friday today with a great guest. Next week, we've got some great shows as well. ALBC, Jeanette Behringer, Ask the Chicken Doctor on Wednesday will probably be postponed, and then Back Home Magazine on Thursday, another fun Friday. And so we've got about a little over a minute left, so Pat, I'm going to have you take it away.
Okay, well, it was certainly a great show today. And I got to tell you that John and Brenda Helm of I hope I pronounce this right, Niskayuna, New York, as we know, their case isn't necessarily a singular case, but we're certainly behind you all we can, and we'll do what we can to raise the poultry power and get you so you can keep your chickens. Andy Schneider, thanks for bringing us all together. Certainly appreciate we both have tractors and we can pull and do our part for the chicken movement. Appreciation yes. to our chat room chickeneers and all our listeners for clucking along. We so appreciate you, and we wouldn't be here if it were not for you. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for providing the radio, chat, and video services. Blessings to all. We love you all so very much. Have a wonderful weekend, and may the flock be with you.
And, of course, to the young lady up in New York that doesn't like chickens. All righty, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Bye.